Turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. The Gospel of John chapter 11. Again, in our consideration of these two words, I am, we're going to look here at verses number 25 and 26. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking. John chapter 11, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I tell you what, that's a powerful verse and a blessed verse. The Lord goes on to say, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I am the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and so that's what we want to consider here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and privilege once again to meet together with your people and meet together with your church to worship you. Help us, Father, that we would continue to worship you. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for your word as it's been opened up and brought forth and broken into us. We thank you, Father, for this time. Pray that you'd help me to preach your word as it please you. Father, that the saints, that we that are, who are saved, we might be strengthened and we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Lord, we might know and learn better about what you've done for us. And Lord, that we might rejoice in it. And we might worship you and praise your name in it and glorify your name, Father. We might be a witness into a lost and dying world. And we pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved, Father, that you would show them that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Help now, we pray and bless and watch care over us and help us. Take me out of the way and just speak to us through your word. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. There's many blessings and many benefits, many side things, if you will, to being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our souls are saved and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. In being saved, okay, namely our sins forgiven, okay, and we've been redeemed, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ has atoned for our sins. Okay, that's right there at the heart and the beginning of salvation. The condemnation for our sin has been lifted. That is salvation, and that is being brought from darkness to light, or being brought from death unto life. But not only that, because the Lord Jesus Christ died once and was buried and rose again, there are additional benefits. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves that the gospel is true and his power to save is so. And so not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but so will his people. And so that's a blessing of salvation. Oh, if we were saved only in this life, the scripture says, the apostle Paul writes, we'd be of men most miserable, wouldn't we? So we look forward to life everlasting and life eternal. And in that, Jesus raising from the dead, it's granted unto us everlasting life because he lives. Our everlasting life will last as long as Jesus is alive. And the scripture says clearly that he died once and is alive forevermore. And so this thing of resurrection is a blessing and a side benefit, or it is there near the heart of it all. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how, again, I mentioned this morning, how can that be imputed to you and me? You know, we can't keep ourselves alive, much less work to keep someone else alive. And I know the medical profession works and we've been have many, many blessings. But as Brother Doug points out often in reading the prayer list, you know, if the Lord doesn't bless medical procedure and medicine and such as that, there is going to be no help and there's not going to be no life. And the Lord does bless, and I'm glad for those things. But this thing of being resurrected, coming from being dead and to living, namely this old flesh dying, and we who are saved being resurrected and given a new eternal body, is such a wondrous, wondrous thing. In this passage, Jesus says unto Martha, I am the resurrection. And Jesus says, not some scheme, not some system of doctrine, not some oath that you can take, not some creed that you can keep. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And we've seen already in messages related to this, indeed, he says, I am the life. He goes on, he says, he that believeth in me, the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I tell you what, you and I couldn't even think to put forth such a statement. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to put forth such a statement, and it's more than a statement, it's a truth, and it is so right now. You think about Moses. You think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are they dead? Well, from the perspective of this world, this life, they are dead. And we're going to take a look. The Lord helps us in the message. We'll take a look at what Jesus says about that. But are they really dead? No, they're alive. See, and I think that that's what the Lord's talking about. And he goes on to say here, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, that's talking about now. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, again, not a religion, not a denomination, not a system of doctrines or teachings by some man, but whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And the question comes across, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Here in John chapter 11, verse number 1, the scripture says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. That's a town that's just outside of Jerusalem to the east, going towards the Jordan River. The town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent it to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this is an important verse to note. This sickness is not unto death. This is what Jesus is saying. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. See that? It's kind of very much to what we read over here in Luke chapter 9. Take a look over here, Luke chapter 9. Oops, I told you wrong, John 9. Didn't think that that was right. John 9. Remember this? And as Jesus passed by, John 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That man had been born blind, not because of sin of himself, not because of sin of his parents, but so that in the Lord's time, the works of God would be made manifest in him. Jesus says in John 11, verse 4 about Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death. Look at the perspective of Jesus. This sickness is not unto death. Jesus says, death is not an issue here, fellas. Death is not an issue here. But this thing that's happening, this sickness is for the glory of God. Lazarus is sick, and what's going to happen to him because of that is for the glory of God. Why? That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Think about this. You know, the book of John, the Gospel of John, it deals with the latter part. It deals more with the latter part of the Lord's ministry, and right up there in those final maybe months and weeks. We've got a big chunk of that, and that's where we're at here. We're approaching the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary, and that's what the Gospel of John namely deals with, is that latter part. Matthew, Mark, and Luke deal more with the entire three-year ministry of the Lord, but John kind of comes down here to the end of the ministry. You know, Jesus has raised some from the dead already. The man at Nain, that they were carrying him out to bury. Jairus' daughter, remember him up in Capernaum? And she was sick and nigh unto death and then died while her daddy was entreating the Lord to come and heal her. He's already raised some from the dead, these two that we know of. But here, as Jesus is heading towards the cross, and it's the time of that is becoming, if I understand it, certainly within weeks, he is going to remind the disciples, he is going to remind us that he is in control of death and life. He says, I am the resurrection. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The disciples need to be reminded once again that Jesus has the power of life and death. Are you here without Christ as your Savior? You need a Savior, not that can give you stuff, not that can make you wealthy in the things of the world, but you need a Savior that has the power of life and death. That's the kind of Savior that you need. A Savior that was able to lay down his life, as we saw last Sunday, and take it back again. That's the kind of Savior that we need. That's the kind of Savior that you need. Now Jesus, verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He's over beyond Jordan. He's over where John the Baptist had been baptizing. And it tells us in chapter 10, if that's still the case. And he hears this word. Word is sent. Lazarus is sick. And he stays around. The message comes. It's known that the message comes, I guess, by the disciples. And they stay there the rest of that day. And they sleep there that night. And they get up the next day, maybe. And well, they do get up and they're there. I don't know how the timing all worked, but then they sleep there another night. And it's not till after they get up in the next morning that Jesus says, and we see these things. He abides there 2 days at the same place. Verse 7, then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Let's go back over that way. Back over Jordan and back over there towards Bethany. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? You're going back to where they're looking to kill you? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So he said, I need to do what I've been called to do. And this sickness of Lazarus is no surprise. And us waiting for 2 more days is not out of sorts. Everything here's right on time, fellas. It's time to go back to Judea. Because for the time at hand, while it's daytime, brother and sister in Christ, you and I need to work and work for the Lord. Because you know what? There comes a time when we'll do no more work. We'll lay our armor by, as the song says. In verse number 11, the scripture says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Again, the Lord's perspective. And no doubt, I trust that all of you have heard about this account and know what's at hand. And knowing what the situation with Lazarus is, Jesus' perspective is he's asleep. You know why? Because Jesus has been given the power of life and death. He has the power of life and death within him. Death to the Lord is like sleep is to you and me. I'm asleep. And Clarissa will come over and shake me, say, Jim, it's time to go. Jim, need to get up out of that recliner and go to bed. Jim, get up. You need to go do something. She can wake me up. That's the way it is with Jesus when somebody's dead. He just speaks to them. He just touches them and shakes them. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Everybody needs a nap. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. See our perspective? We think sleep is a good thing and we do need rest. And they're thinking he's taking a nap. Okay, that means he's maybe recovering from his illness or whatever. And Jesus, it says in verse number 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Our perspective and Jesus' perspective. You know what? We need salvation by the Lord. Sinners need salvation by the Lord. And we need to have the perspective of Christ. We need a Savior that is able to deal in things of life and death. If you don't have a Savior that can deal in the issues of life and death, if you don't have a Savior that is not in control of life and death, you don't have the right Savior. Lazarus is dead. And he says here, verse 15, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Listen to what he's speaking this to disciples, those that believe on him, folks that are saved. He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. See, Jesus is going to take and raise this man from the dead, that his disciples be reminded that he has the power of life, and he has power over death. Then said Thomas, verse 16, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, he's certainly courageous, and he's certainly dedicated to the Lord. It said, well, okay, let's go on to go over to Judea and die. We're so short-sighted about the power of the Lord, aren't we? When it looks impossible to us, therefore it must be impossible to all. Therefore, if it's impossible to us, it must be impossible for the Lord. And you know, and I'm not looking to kick Thomas here, but doesn't the scripture say, and didn't they see it so many times where the scripture says, and the multitudes looked to take him by force, and he departed out of their way? Or they took up stones to stone him, but his hour was not yet come. They saw things like that. And so easy we forget, like Brother Thomas does. So let's go on and die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain, that is Lazarus, in the grave 4 days already. The messenger took time to get to Jesus and to find him. After the message came, and however much time that took, Jesus stayed 2 more days. And then there was travel time from where they were over there by Jordan back to Bethany, and 4 days that elapsed. He's in the grave for 4 days. He's dead. He's not comatose. He's not swooned away. He's dead. He is dead. Graveyard dead. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about a mile and a half. And many of the Jews, verse 19, came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They're there with them to console them and to just be available to help them to share in their sorrow of the death of their brother. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. You know, there were those that were either coming out of the town and saw that Jesus was coming and turned around and went back. Or there were those of the company of the Lord Jesus, or maybe there were those that were following with the Lord Jesus that were from Bethany. And as they started getting close to home, they ran on into town. Somehow the word got there that they hear that Jesus is coming towards Bethany. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Perspective. If you'd have been here in time, Lazarus wouldn't have died. I know that. I believe and know that if you would have got here before he drew his last breath, he would not have died. Got to hand it to her for faith in that regard. But yet it is a doubtful, limiting faith, isn't it? This is the reason the Lord's going to do this and work this. But I know, she says in verse 22, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I wonder about that verse. It's there in the scripture. We know that it's so. What is it that's going on there? She says, I know whatever you ask of the Lord, he'll give it to you. Whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. I know that you've got that connection. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. See, she says, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it you. Your brother's going to rise again. Said, I know he's rising at the resurrection. She believes that. She doesn't think, it doesn't even cross her mind about that Jesus could raise him from the dead. Let us not limit our God. Let us not limit our God. Let us not take our Lord and put him in a box. May God help us. She doesn't have understanding to the fullness of the greatness and power of the Lord. And you and I are found in the same shape, aren't we? The way we be encouraged by the Lord and his word here about what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. Martha says unto him, verse 24, I know he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He says, I am. Jesus pointing at himself. I am the resurrection. Understand that. Jesus, God incarnate, is the resurrection. There's no other resurrection found but in him. None. None. In the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Tell you what, that's a hallmark verse. That's a verse that each one of us need to have and know that is so. Believing in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? He's speaking with her. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer of Israel and of sinners. That's what that word, that name Christ means. The Son of God. I know where you came from, that you are the only begotten Son of God which should come into the world. See, Martha wasn't yet looking for the Lord to come. She knew that he had come. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come. The Master is come and calleth for thee. I had mentioned to you earlier about this resurrection and that God is the God of the living. Look over, hold your place here and turn quickly over here a few verses. In Revelation chapter 1, as the Lord reveals himself unto John on the Isle of Patmos, remember that the Lord says this in verse number 17. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17. And when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The Lord Jesus says over here also in chapter 2 to the church of Smyrna in verse number 8, and to the angel in the church of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. The Lord's got that kind of power. He has that kind of ability. In John chapter 5, let's read here what the Lord says. In John 5, verse number 21 or so, as our brother has read here recently, The Lord received this from the Father. In John 5:21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, that word quickeneth means make alive, even so the Son of Man quickeneth or makes alive whom he wills. You know the difference between you being made alive or staying dead is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason sinners need him. Sinners need to cry out and call out for mercy from him, for help from him. Sinners are called by the Lord to receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything about him. No ifs, ands, or buts. You receive Christ as he is, and he has the power over life and over death. In Mark chapter 12, I find this interesting here in the religious leadership of the day. They're looking to take the Lord and catch him in his words and all that, as they tried and tried and tried to do. They pose something to him here, which we're not looking at that here this morning, but the seven brethren that had this woman to wife and all that, and they challenged the Lord about how it's going to be in eternity. What we want to look here is at this principle. In Mark, chapter 12, verse number 24, Mark 12:24, Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? You know what? We can sure make error not knowing what the scriptures say about the Lord, and thereby not understanding and knowing and believing in the power of God. He said, do ye not therefore err because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Verse 25, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, for as the angels which are in heaven, as touching the dead that they arise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He doesn't say, I was. He said to Moses, I am now. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures, and thereby not knowing the power of God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. See, the power of God is so, and the ability of God, God doesn't have dead folks around him. You hear that? God saves dead folks, and he makes them alive. But God doesn't have any dead people around him, because he is life. He is life. Back in John 11, Martha goes for Mary, and she rises quickly in verse 29, and Jesus wasn't yet to the town, verse 30, and it's at the same place where Martha, he had spoken to Martha. Verse 31, the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. And so they have care for her, and they see Mary get up, and so they go with her. They follow her. Mary was come, verse 32 of John 11, where Jesus was and saw him. Listen to this. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I have faith. She had faith that if Jesus would have got there before the last breath, Lazarus would still be alive. She believed that. But yet, she is limiting the Lord, isn't she? As we do. Faith and understanding that our Lord could keep Lazarus from dying. She had that faith. But was blinded and did not have consideration of the Lord that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. But you know what? We need to know that the Lord can raise sinners from the dead, that he has the power. We don't need to doubt the Lord. We don't need to limit our Lord. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. At this point, Jesus groans. He groans within himself. Now, why is it that he's doing so? Why is it that the Lord's groaning? Does Jesus know why he's come to town? Does he love and care for Martha and Mary and Lazarus? Well, the scripture tells us he loves them. They are his disciples. They are his children. The Lord knew that Lazarus was sick and waited two more days before he showed up. The Lord in verse number 4 said that this has taken place for the glory of God and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Is the Lord groaning about Lazarus being dead? I don't think so. The Lord knew what he was going to do 2 days ago, and we know well even before that. But he groans, I believe, because of their limiting of him and the power of God. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Saw her weeping, verse 33, the Jews weeping, which came with her. He groaned in spirit and says he was troubled. Doesn't it happen with you? You see a thing, you hear a thing, and you get troubled. Maybe in our troubling, we might get sad. Maybe in our troubling, we might get angry. Maybe in our troubling, that word troubled, we maybe are confused. Or we know something else is so when everybody believes this is so. It'll trouble us, won't it? He's troubled. And he groans in spirit because of it. Jesus, again, he had said in verse number 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In verse 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And he said plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm going there to undead him. I'm going to raise him from the dead. And he said in verse number 34, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And so they go to the grave, and Jesus wept. I believe that the Lord Jesus wept not because of the loss of Lazarus, because Lazarus wasn't lost to the Lord. And no doubt he cared and had compassion for his sisters that remained and the grief that they had. But I think the Lord wept and groaned because of their unbelief. Listen, God is at hand physically. And their perspective is on what men can do. Their perspective is on what they think is able to be done, not on the Lord's perspective. Don't you know the disciples are looking on at this? He said, I'm going to wake Lazarus out of sleep, and Lazarus is dead. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Be careful. Indeed, he loved him, but understand why the Lord's weeping and why the Lord is groaning. Understand that these Jews may not have it right. Okay? And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning. The Lord knew the thoughts, and the Lord knew what was being said. And it causes him to groan even more. Have I not been so long with you? Right? Some of the disciples asked, Thomas asked, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Have I not been so long with you? And have you not seen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Thomas? I've been with you all this time. I've done what I've done all this time. I think it's that same kind of fare. Do they not remember the accounts where the Lord raised from the dead the man at Nain? Is the account of what he did with Jairus' daughter, is that so old and so cold that they've forgotten about that? It's easy for us to forget. Again, our intent is not to rail on them, but for us to learn, do not limit our Lord. Don't limit him. He is the resurrection. Therefore, Jesus, verse 38, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. She still has doubt. And as we would say, bless her heart. But she still has doubt. Her words reveal what she's thinking. She had said, I know in verse 22 that even now that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. But when the Lord says, take away the stone, she doesn't think, I know what he's up to. But she said, Lord, he's stinking by now. He's stinking by now. Limiting the Lord. He hath been dead 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus has been praying. It's not accounted in the scripture about what he said. But Jesus has already been praying. Jesus praying? Yeah, it's what he said. He had spoken to the Father about what he wanted to do. And the Father has answered. And what he was going to do. Was Jesus praying when they were 2 days over there on the other side of the Jordan River? Was Jesus praying as they walked on their way to Bethany? Was Jesus praying to the Father as they came up there and Martha was first there? As they went to the grave, was Jesus praying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus has been talking to the Father, hadn't he? And I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it. I've said this out loud. Why? That they may believe that thou hast sent me. That it might be believed. Sinner without Christ, these things are written and this account is given and these things were done. Oh, that you would believe that Jesus has been sent by the Father for the salvation of sinners like you. He is the resurrection. And he is the life. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. He's the resurrection. One day for we that are saved, one day the Lord Jesus, if you will, is going to call our name and we're going to come forth. If we go by way of the grave and they take us out there and they bury us out there, one day Jesus is going to holler and we're going to come forth. Won't be holding any back, Brother Bobby. John chapter 5. What the brother read. One day the Lord will come in the clouds. And if we're still alive, we who are saved, the Lord will say, come forth. And you know what? We'll do it. And we'll be caught up in the clouds with the Lord to meet him in the air and be forever with him, the scripture says. And you know what? This call to resurrection is just like the call to salvation. One day, the Lord said, Jim, come forth. One day, the Lord worked and showed me my sin and showed me my wickedness. Just like Brother Doug showed in his Sunday school lesson how the Lord worked on Brother Nebuchadnezzar. He put stuff in there, brought stuff to him, broke that man down. Just like he broke us down. And one day he said, Jim, come forth. I am the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrector of the spiritually dead soul and giving life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrector of the physical life unto immortal and eternal life that we'll have when the Lord completes salvation and gives us an eternal body like his. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. Many of the Jews, verse 45, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. I pray that you will too. If you haven't believed on Christ and trusted him to the salvation of your soul, believe on him. And some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. How about you? Is this just a neat story? A neat account? Or do you see in this, do we see, is it renewed within us to not limit our God and to see the power of our Lord? Remember in verse 42, the Lord Jesus said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He said, I've spoken these things and I'm doing these things that sinners might believe. In verse 25, we close. Jesus says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Abraham's going to live again. Abraham's alive now. Amen. Moses is going to live again. Moses is alive now. Jesus is alive now. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.